Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borgers. Stop & Shop's union workers are back on the job today after an 11-day strike that cost both sides money and drew the attention of several presidential candidates and a high-profile visit from potential candidate Joe Biden. In broad strokes, the labor dispute was about whether the company can and should continue to offer the kind of wages and benefits it has for generations, the kind that made it possible for a teenager to take an after-school job bagging groceries, turn that job into a career, and one day retire with a pension. One of the workers' most vocal supporters during the strike was Massachusetts State Treasurer Deb Goldberg, whose family founded Stop & Shop more than a century ago and ran it until the late 80s. Here she is at a rally headlined by Biden last week.
We believe in people. We believe in good benefits. We believe in good salaries, not give backs.
We caught up with Treasurer Goldberg this afternoon, and I began by asking how she feels now that the strike is over.
Well, I am just relieved and grateful that Stop & Shop took this very seriously and sat down with the workers to come to some sort of agreement. I have not seen the details of the agreement, but given the widespread support of the workers' rights, I believe that Stop & Shop must have come up with concessions that were acceptable.
And I know that your grandfather, Sidney Rabb, led Stop & Shop for more than six decades. And Treasurer, I met a worker on the line during the strike who has been with the company almost that long. And in fact, he told me that he remembers meeting you and Mr. Sidney, as he called him, when you were just a little girl. And this worker certainly has fond memories of the time when your family ran the company. How do you remember that period?
Well, I have to tell you, Thursday at the rally was an incredibly emotional day. I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, oh, if you were only still here and your family was so good to everyone. And if you were at the rally, you heard me state that when I was a little girl, I could never have imagined that I'd be standing there on Thursday in the situation that we all found ourselves in. Our family went through a hostile takeover in the 1980s, and we never intended to sell the company under any circumstances. I was brought up to continue the kind of values where we had brought in the unions ourselves, that we ran a company that created a good life for everybody and a thriving middle class that was the essence of our Massachusetts economy. And so it was quite an emotional day, and I brought a message from my parents, and when I went to go see them afterward, they were very emotionally moved by hearing the stories of the number of people who came up to me and talked to me about how terrific Mr. G and Mrs. G always were.
Well, there's a lot of fond memories of that period, as I mentioned, but there were occasional tensions between labor and management when your family was in control, right?
Of course there were. I mean, there's always going to be that tension, but you go to the table and you're talking across the table with people that you work with and people that you know. And at the end of the day, you come to an agreement, shake hands, some folks go out for beers together, and then they get back to work the next day. That's the art of negotiation. And in fact, that's the kind of experience that I had that I then brought when I came to the town of Brookline and had terrific, terrific relationships with the unions. But at the same time, if I felt strongly about something, I was honest with them and stood my ground. That's just kind of how it works.
But is there something different? I mean, you know, there were brief strikes in 85 and 88, and so I'm wondering if you see that the way Stop & Shop's current owner, which is the Dutch conglomerate Ahold Delhaize, behaved in this latest standoff. I mean, is it really different from the way your family was handling things when there were strikes?
Tremendously different. Any kind of potential issues that there were over the long period of time that my family was involved became resolved. And I can tell you, there are times where you're not going to agree, but there's a mutual respect, and there's also an understanding that you share the same values, and at the end of the day, it's got to be a win-win.
I want to ask you about some of the specific concessions that Stop and Shop was seeking in the latest negotiations, Treasurer. They had asked workers to pay more for their health insurance. They wanted to freeze pension contributions for many workers, wanted to end time and a half pay for new hires on Sundays. And you were critical of those efforts. But I just wonder, you know, the pressures that the company says it's feeling today might be different from they were three decades ago. You know, they would say, well, we have to compete with grocery sections at Walmart and Target. And it's just a different time.
The different time is not one that I believe in. As I said, in a way, it's a race to the bottom on the backs of workers. That is one of the problems of our country today, is that we are creating a vast gulf between those who work and those who make an enormous amount of money. Ahold was able to use tax breaks and then buy back a bunch of their shares. That is not something that we would have done when we were there. We would have continued to maintain jobs. These folks are residents of Massachusetts. They pay taxes in Massachusetts. Our economy is negatively impacted when people need to take on more debt and can't afford to be consumers. That affects the Massachusetts economy. You know, I think when we had gas prices get so low a couple years ago, one would think that we would have seen increased spending. We didn't. People were using those resources to pay down debt. That is not how we create thriving economies that support all the people that live here in Massachusetts and throughout the country.
So what's your takeaway then, Treasurer, from the way this episode is wrapped up? And again, I'm mindful that we don't know all the details of what's in this proposed contract and it hasn't been ratified yet. But do you see this as an overall encouraging sign that workers were able to stand up for themselves, or are you more discouraged by the way things unfolded?
I see this in a positive light. I haven't seen this kind of union collaboration along with the general public in so long that I think it is a reaction to what we've been seeing in this country, where kids get a job and the companies they work for show them no loyalty. So our kids then switch jobs every 3 to 5 years, because if they're not going to be loyal to the businesses, if the businesses aren't loyal to them. And I think that people are just getting fed up with this constant scrambling and beginning to recognize how everyone's life is impacted by this. And maybe we'll see a reversal of this and begin to see some of the building of companies that enhance value for all of our lives, not just for a singular purpose.
That's Massachusetts State Treasurer Deb Goldberg, whose family founded Stop and Shop more than a century ago. Treasurer, thanks for your time today. Enjoy chatting.
I enjoyed chatting also.
And joining me now to help make sense of the Stop and Shop strike, how it ended, and where we go from here, is Tom Jurevich. He's a labor historian and sociology professor at the UMass Amherst Labor Center. Professor Jurevich, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Colin.
So we just heard Treasurer Goldberg talk about how she feels encouraged by the way the union collaborated with the public on this strike. Do you walk away feeling the same way? What stands out to you?
Oh, absolutely. This was a major victory. If this had happened 2 or 3 years ago, I think the union could have been in trouble because there hadn't been any strikes, there hadn't been any activism. But, you know, in Boston we saw the Marriott victory, we saw the gas workers, and we've seen teachers all over the country organizing. And I think what that's done is help remind people about what's going on, as Secretary Goldberg spoke about, you know, that although Wall Street is recovering, Main Street isn't. And when the workers at Stop and Shop went out on strike, I think everybody who goes to those stores realized that these are not overpaid workers. They weren't asking for too much. These are salt-of-the-earth people. And we saw a massive support. The analysts have suggested that this was a major economic pressure brought to bear on this company. And in 11 days, the workers beat back the concessions and got back on track. So this is really a new day for labor.
Well, so do we know, though, how much they beat back the concessions, though, Tom? I mean, if you look through the statements, and I'll point out that we invited both representatives of the union and the company to join us on the show, and they both declined interview requests. But, for example, the union is calling this a victory, but it says, for example, that, you know, they've been able to preserve time and a half pay on Sunday for current members. And we know that one of the things the company was asking for was to phase out time and a half for new hires, to give them maybe an extra dollar or two an hour. We don't know for sure, Tom, but it sounds to me, with that emphasis on current members, that maybe that was a concession the company got.
Oh, you're absolutely right. The union didn't get everything they demanded here, but you got to remember that this was 31,000 low-wage workers who took a real bold move here. These are not, you know, people who generally have a lot in their pockets and a lot of power, but collectively they came together and they built on this public support, and they beat back the concessions. And these were major concessions for their current members: health care, benefits, the wages, and so on. And, you know, at the end of the day, and again, I wasn't at the bargaining table, but you know, the union brought this pressure on the company, but could they survive that for another week or month or 2 or 3 months? And the longer the strikes go, the harder it is to keep that economic pressure on. So I think the union, right, didn't get everything, and there are probably concerns about that they weren't able to get everything they wanted for all new hires. But on the other hand, they preserved a lot. And like the Marriott workers are, you know, they're going to be there to fight another day.
Well, so you mentioned those Marriott workers who were on strike last fall, and you also mentioned the National Grid. That was a lockout, but sort of a similar situation when we had a labor standoff. Do you see any common thread running through these high-profile work stoppages that we've had in our state recently?
I do. And I think what we're seeing here is a sort of a new face of the labor movement. Now, I know the National Grid workers were sort of more traditional blue-collar workers, but at Marriott and Stop and Shop, again, these were not what typically people think of as union members. These are, you know, relatively low-wage workers. They're also an incredibly diverse workforce. And I think what they really plugged into and drew from is kind of an activism, a new activism of young people and diverse people all over the country who are beginning to, you know, to look more closely, and we see this reflected in Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement. There's a lot of activism, and I think that's where the Marriott workers and these Stop and Shop workers really drew their support from. So I think this is really something quite new and quite something that's really indicating a kind of a new day for what the labor movement is and could be moving forward.
Do you think, though, Tom, that perhaps Stop and Shop had a little bit of a point during this process, though? I mean, for example, they said, you know, we have to compete in a marketplace that has changed even since the last contract was signed 3 years ago, and certainly since the last, you know, 30 years ago when Deb Goldberg's family was running the show. You know, we've got online delivery services. We have new competitors in the Massachusetts market, Wegmans, Whole Foods. These didn't exist decades ago. And they're saying, you know, look, these defined pension contributions are unreasonable. People are living longer. We just can't afford to do these kinds of things anymore.
Oh, you're absolutely right. No doubt that this is an industry in fierce competition. In fact, what we've seen is incredible centralization as about six major firms, including, you know, Ahold Delhaize, control most of the market in the U.S. So it's been really heavily concentrated. And you're right about the competitive pressures, but I think this is what we need to recognize. This is not reflected on their balance sheet. This is a company that not only made more than $2 billion in net income, but they virtually have no debt. Their return on assets is massive. So, you know, despite the competitive nature of this business, and this company in particular is really trying to repossession themselves for this new market. So, yes, there are. But I think in terms of, you know, whether they could hold on to defined benefits, I think that, and again, we saw this in the Marriott case. There was a time when supermarket workers and people who cleaned hotel rooms got minimum wage and they were lucky to have it. But I think what we're beginning to see is that with unions and with organizing, that these are the workers now who are beginning to gain some of the things and hold on to some of the things that we always expected of union workers and always expected of major employers. So I think that's what's happening here, is this company had enough money to pay for this, still has enough money to pay for it, despite the competitive market. And this is what, as they say, raising the floor for these low-wage workers, whether it's in hospitality or in supermarket work, is really all about.
I wonder, though, do you see any risk of, strike mania going forward, you know, where unions are perhaps emboldened by what they saw in Marriott and Stop and Shop and perhaps overplay their hand, you know, walk off the job and then don't come away successful?
Well, I don't think we've seen that. Again, the numbers from last year were the largest in over 20 years, and we're seeing more energy around that. But I think what the thing we have to remember here is that I don't think anybody is going out on strike casually. The teachers in Los Angeles, for example, that was a very calculated, long-planned strike, and same with the Stop and Shop workers. So I don't think people are doing this carelessly. Because there's still an awful lot of corporate power and a lot of things that are stacked legally and administratively against unions. So I do think that there is this new possibility, and I think it's something that not just Stop and Shop, but other employers far beyond the grocery industry are thinking about today. That they might think twice before pushing their union so hard to force them into lockout or force them out on strike.
Tom Jurevich is a labor historian and sociology professor at the UMass Amherst Labor Center. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
It was a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, should elephants have the same rights as humans? I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.